sun was shining bright. I've been in the valley when the clouds were black as night.
I've been betrayed by Jesus, by a friend who wasn't true. But in the good times or the bad times, Lord, I've learned to lean on you.
Heard the battle raging, then I prayed till victory came. There have been times I really thought, Lord, you don't even know my name.
But I've been blessed, and I've been down to where I didn't know what to do. But in the times of joy and sorrow, Lord, I've learned to lean on you.
Well, the question is, are we leaning on Him? Are we leaning on Him? We have someone this morning who is welcoming all of our burdens and all of our cares. In fact, He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What a blessing this morning to be able to lean on Jesus. And I hope you are. And it's certainly a practice for all of us, isn't it? Each and every day to cast our cares upon the Lord, to lean on Him during our time of need. The other challenge is to continue to lean on Him even when we're not in need. And but what a blessing it is to have Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And it's just a blessing to see you this morning. And we welcome the cool air, the cool weather. And just that time of year, I personally love how it feels outside. I know that some don't, but this is polar bear weather, if you didn't know. And so we're right at home with that. But anyway, it is so good to be here this morning. And God has been good to us, and we're here to praise Him. And I hope you are as well. So we want to welcome everyone to Calvary Baptist Church. We want to welcome those watching by way of Facebook to Calvary Baptist Church. Appreciate you. And we're looking for the Lord to pour out upon us today a blessing. And looking to be encouraged, looking to be challenged, and ultimately changed as a result of being here in the service this morning. I do want to mention a few things, and then we'll pray, and then we'll toss it back to Brother Allen. But got another good report this week from Brother Allen on his testing. And all is well so far on the testing. So we praise the Lord for that. He does have a follow-up and some other things the doctors are working on. And so let's continue to pray for Brother Allen. But praise the Lord in the meantime. Appreciate your prayers on that. Let's remember our children's home as well, all of our house parents and kids. The tree lot is in full swing, getting things together. In saying that, remember these dates for crucial help that's needed. November 26th, 27th, 28th, December 3, 4, and 5. And if you do have any questions, see Brother Brian, Miss Darlene, someone at the home would be great to see for that. And I believe yesterday I had a lot of help out there working, getting things ready. And so it's just hard to believe it's that time of year again, but it's here, and so let's enjoy it. So let's remember our children's home. Let's also remember Brother Ed and Mary Ann Sandy. They're in need of our prayers to take care of Brother Ed and his needs that he's in need of. Let's remember Johnny and Pat Eccles. Miss Pat, as you know, had a leg accident where she had to have 60 stitches. But we found out this week that those stitches are removed, and we thought maybe we'd see her this morning. I think that was the plan anyway, for them to be here. But just remember them as she recovers from that. Anything that needs 60 stitches is a big deal. One stitch is a big deal, let alone 60. So remember them. Let's remember Brother David Henderson as he gets ready in December for a hip replacement surgery. Brother David, we're praying for you. Let's remember Miss Glenda as well during that time. Just a couple of reminders. Our Thanksgiving fellowship is on the 21st at 5 p.m. on Sunday evening. The church is providing the meat. Bring a dish. That'll be great. Thank you for that. And then also on the 28th, this will be the Sunday following the 21st. On the evening service at 5 p.m., I've asked Brother Jamie Dickerson if he'd come and preach for us. And so we're looking forward to Brother Jamie being here on that evening. We got to know Brother Jamie, of course, been a few years ago, but with the Braves and everything in the postseason, we watched some games together, hooped and hollered, and so we're just looking forward to having Brother Jamie in service. And had him on my heart for a while, and I know he'll be a blessing to you. So remember that on the 28th, Sunday night at 5 o'clock. All right. Are you glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the kind of Savior that you are. You are the God of all comfort. You're the God of all grace. You're the God of all hope. Help us this morning to really let that settle in our minds and find a lodging place in our hearts. Because when we understand what kind of God you are, our fears, Lord, should melt away. Our doubts should diminish. Because we know that you're in control. You have a plan. We may be shocked, Lord. We may be disturbed, but you're not. Bible even says that you watch over us, Lord. You sing over us when we sleep. And so, Lord, I'm thankful that you are the kind of God you are. Meet with us in a mighty way this morning. Lord, we praise you for Brother Allen's report. We praise you, Lord, for all the other reports that you've worked in the lives of your people. Lord, I pray today that you would be with the singing, be with the preaching, Lord. We pray that there will be a good response at the altar call invitation time. If there's someone here that doesn't know you personally, let today be the day of salvation for them. And Father, for everyone else who knows you, may we all be encouraged and perhaps return to the cross if we're falling from afar. We love you today. We thank you. We praise you for who you are and for what you do and the things that you're going to do. In Christ's name we pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Ma'am. this is your son. This is your son, Michael?
Michael is my grandson.
Grandson. Let's remember Miss Mary Kelly's grandson, Michael. Thank you.
Church, would you stand with me? Choir, would you stand with me? And can we sing? I know we sing this quite often, but there is truly something about the name of Jesus. Would you agree with me this morning? Amen. So let's sing that chorus that says, "There's something about that name." Before you sit down, can you sing this chorus with me? God is so good. God. But he answers prayer. He's coming soon. Do you believe it this morning? He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's so good to me. Amen. That's great singing this morning. Thank you. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated as well. Again, I thank you so much for all of the prayers, all of your support. So glad to be a part of a loving, praying church. Amen. We should be so thankful for that. It is good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. And you be much in prayer for Pastor today and for the choirs we sing again here in a few moments. I believe the ladies are going to sing a song for us as well. We look forward to that. Let's go to him again in a word of prayer. And please don't forget about next Sunday. That's next Sunday evening. It's right here upon us at 5 o'clock. We are Thanksgiving Fellowship. It'll be a great time. Bring the side dishes. The meat will be taken care of. It'll just be a great time in the house of the Lord. And we're looking forward to so much to that. But let's go to him in a word of prayer and ask him to be in our service this morning and ask God's blessing on the offering. Brother Don, would you lead us as we pray? Thank you.
Brother David, if you could just play for just a minute softly, I'd like to say something before we get started. It's been on my heart all week. But this song this morning is He Will Carry You. And the ladies' ensemble and I would like to dedicate this to everyone in this room, but especially to Brother Allen and Miss Darlene. Miss Darlene requested this song a few months ago, and Lily's had it on her playlist for about a year now, and it's such a blessing. And just pray for us as we try to get across what the Lord's laid on our heart this morning. We love you all dearly. Do you ever find yourself asking God where He's been? Ever get up out of bed saying, I can't do this again? Have you ever been afraid of what tomorrow's gonna bring? And you're facing it alone, at least that's what you think.
I can tell you after going through that valley, even though I didn't see it at the time, it was in my weakest moments that He held me, and I know you'll find
He will carry you when you can't go on. He will be your strength when your strength is gone. He will lift you up. He will be enough to get you through. When the road is long and you want to quit, cause you think you've got nothing left to give, you can fall apart, fall into His arms.
He will carry you.
When you get the kind of news that you'd hoped you'd never hear, when you're chasing down a dream just to watch it disappear, when somebody that you loved turns and walks away, and they leave you standing there with shattered faith,
you don't have to pick up all the broken pieces. You don't have to try and cover up the scars. You are loved and you can always run to Jesus just as you are.
He will carry you when you can't go on. He will be your strength when your strength is gone. He will lift you up. He will be enough to get you through. When the road is long and you want to quit, cause you think you've got nothing left to give, you can fall apart, fall into His arms. He'll carry you.
His heart is never weary. No, He's never tired. Through the toughest light, through the longest night, through the flood and through the fire.
He will carry you when you can't go on. He will be your strength when your strength is gone. He will lift you up. He will be enough to get you through. When the road is long and you want to quit, cause you think you've got nothing left to give, you can fall apart, fall into His arms.
Amen. He's worthy to be praised with everything. Remember Miss Cece. Anyone else this morning? Well, we appreciate the Lord.
Made at the same time as in a
That's right.
Before we even knew him, before even the earth was something that I just can't comprehend anybody being able to do that.
Amen.
So I praise him. I thank him for leading me to that woman, Janine, that she had a big deal about getting saved.
That's awesome. Appreciate that, Brother Harold. Oh, hey, we appreciate the testimony. 1 Peter this morning, chapter number 1. 1 Peter, chapter number 1. And appreciate the Lord and the service thus far. But I believe the Lord has a message he wants to get across this morning from his word. And I do want to bow for a word of prayer. And we're going to begin reading out of verse number 13. In just a moment, 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Father, we love you. Thank you for carrying us through the difficulties of life. Thank you, Lord, that you are who you are. Be with us in the next few moments. I pray that you would use me to be a blessing. And Father, may the time that we leave, Lord, we all could say it's been good to be here. In Jesus' name we pray. Thanksgiving. Amen. And amen. 1 Peter chapter number 1, in verse number 13, the Bible says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." That's reading 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 13 down to verse number 16. The book of 1 Peter this morning deals with how the believer can live right in a world that has gone wrong. I believe we all could testify and agree that we're living in a very, very broken world. A broken world. Chapter number 2 through chapter number 5, these chapters, they build upon that premise. They deal with and they emphasize our conduct and how that ultimately we are to model Christ. And how that if we model Christ, then everything else in our life will align itself with that model. For instance, chapter 2 and verse 1, talking about our conduct. He says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings." And if you go on and you read verse number 11, he says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul." You get into chapter number 3 in verse 15, and he tells us to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that's within us. You continue to read, we're looking at the conduct that's in this epistle, we are to have in our life, and in the Christ we need to follow. Chapter 4 and verse number 1 says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." And of course, chapter number 5 and verse 7 tells us to cast all of our care upon him, for he cares for us. Again, this book deals with primarily how the believer can live right. And it deals totally with the things that pertain to living right, what we're to do, the person we're to follow. This morning I want you to notice in the first verse that we read, verse number 13, chapter 1, verse 13, notice the word wherefore. Whenever you see the word wherefore, you ask yourself, what is it there for? And it also works with the word therefore. You ask yourself, what is therefore, therefore? And so Peter is reflecting back on everything he said in chapter number 1 until this point. He says, wherefore? So what is he reflecting back on? Well, in verse number 1 through 12, Peter, he mentions all of the blessings that we have as believers. In verse number 4, he talks about our inheritance. In verse number 5, he talks about how that we are kept by the power of God. You see, this morning we don't keep ourselves saved. God keeps us saved. And as long as Jesus Christ is alive and we know that we're saved, we are forever saved. And our name is written in heaven. And so all kinds of blessings he mentions, blessing on top of blessing as a believer. And then verse 13, wherefore? Because of all of those blessings, he mentions in verse number 13 through 16 some expectations that is laid upon the believer from the Lord. These expectations in these verses that are laid upon the believer from the Lord, there are things that we are to do, there are ways that we are to be for our benefit. For our benefit and for His glory. And so again, he mentions all of these blessings, and then verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In these verses, there are three expectations. These expectations, I could say it this way, involves three things. In verse number 13, we have the mind of the believer. And what's expected out of our minds. Verse number 14 and 15, we have the manner of life of the believer. And what's expected out of our lifestyles. And then in verse number 16, we have the motive of the believer. That is, what should be our motive in life. And so, with all of that said this morning, I'd like to share some things on this topic. Expectations of the believer. Expectations of the believer. Let me say this. The believer has some expectations when they get saved. When you and I accept the Lord, we can expect ourselves some things. We can expect newness of life. We can expect a strong desire to serve the Lord, to read His Word, to pray, to share the gospel. We can expect some things from Him. But in return, He also expects some things from us this morning. Expectations of the believer. Again, these are some things that are expected from God concerning His children. These expectations are ways we're to be, how to operate as a child of God. These will only benefit us, the expectations I'll mention this morning. These things will help us. These things, these expectations are for our good and His glory. So what are the expectations of the believer? Notice, if you would, in verse number 13, three things expected. Number one, we see the mind of the believer. The mind. In verse 13, he says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Let me say this morning, the mind is a battlefield. War is raging in the mind of the believer. Some people think when a person gets saved that their minds get saved. No. The heart is saved. But the mind is unredeemable. The mind is a battlefield this morning. And the challenge is getting the heart and the mind balanced out on one level. And I want to say this morning, that's my biggest challenge, is trying to get my mind to meet my heart, for there to be a balance, for me to be centered in life so I can serve the Lord and be what I'm supposed to be for my family. And so that's the challenge. The mind is a battlefield. And so the first thing that the Lord expects from us in light of all of His goodness is that we have the right kind of mindset. He says, gird up the loins of your mind. Our minds this morning are a filter. Everything we see, everything we hear, all filters through our minds. And the things that we allow to stay will take residence in our hearts. Let me give an example. Someone comes to your door and knocks on the door. You answer the door. It's a family member. Come on in. Someone comes to your door and knocks on the door. It's a friend. Come on in. All friends and family are welcome. Someone comes to your door and it's a salesman. Don't answer the door. Because, you see, it has everything to do with what you allow to enter in. Our minds are a filter to the heart. If we allow God's word and goodness to take residence in our minds, there will be heartfelt actions taking place. Christ-likeness will flow. But if we allow worldliness and garbage and carnality to take residence in our minds, there will be carnal actions taking place. Self-centeredness will flow. And so if we allow the Lord to penetrate our minds and goodness to penetrate our minds, Christ-likeness will flow. If we allow worldliness to enter our minds, self-centeredness will flow. That's why John says in John 3:30, listen to this, He must increase and I must decrease. Because John knew exactly what it was like living in this earthly tabernacle. He knew that he needed the touch of God on his life. And I want to say each and every one of us, not just for pastors and preachers and teachers, but just being a Christian, we need the peace of God. Just being a Christian, we need God's grace in our life daily. So we can make this travel, this pathway we're on. So we can trod this pathway in this old broken down world. And so this morning it has to do with the mind. The mind. Satan desires to get us through our minds, then our hearts, not to take us to hell, but to torment us. Someone said one time that the devil wastes no arrows. And I want to say that's very true. The devil is aiming today. He has you in his crosshairs today. He has his arm drawn back and he's getting ready to release an arrow. Not physically, but he is mentally. If he can release an arrow of doubt into your mind, he has you. If he can release an arrow of depression in your mind, he has you. If he can release all of those things, those negative things, into your mind, the devil has you. That's why the Bible says we're to take up the shield of faith that will extinguish all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And so today, the devil, he works in our thought life. If we give him room, listen to this. If we allow the devil to work in our thought life, thoughts become actions. Actions become behavior. Have you ever met someone, or have you ever checked in on someone before, or that at one time they were loving and sweet and caring and faithful to God, but now they're altogether different? Now there's a coldness there. Now there's a callousness there upon the heart. They're not loving and kind no more. They're They're cruel and mean even. And what is that? It's because the devil likes to shoot arrows in the mind. He wants to control your thought life this morning. And if he can do that, he can create behavioral changes this morning. You will find yourself with a whole new belief system because you began to believe the lies of the devil. This morning, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird them up real tight and hope to the end for Jesus Christ to come for you and I. We see this morning that the Bible says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Now, notice the words, gird up. The words, gird up here, it means to muster up one's resources. Some of you will get up and go to work in the morning, whether at home or you actually got a commute. You will muster up your resources, won't you, so that you can get dressed and go on to work. The children, young people, they will muster up their resources in order to get up, get dressed, and go to school. Same kind of idea and concept here. It means to muster up one's resources. It also means prepare oneself for action. Prepare oneself for action. Gird up. Muster up one's resources. If you think that you can just go into your day without mustering up your resources and everything will be fine, you're totally wrong. Because the enemy wastes no arrows. He wants to invade your thought life. He wants to dominate you. He wants to get a foothold in your life. So the Bible says one thing that is expected from us, because it only will benefit us, is that we will gird up the loins of our mind. Now, the Orientals, Bible days, even the Roman soldiers, but let's use the Orientals at first, they would wear long robes. And if there was ever a time they were in a hurry or they had to move with haste, they would pull up their tunic and tuck it in their belt so they could run. To get to their appointment on time. You know, you got to get to, you know, Jerusalem Baptist Church on time. So they'll tuck up their tunic and they'll run. Those Roman soldiers had them long tunics and they wore a waist belt. And I'm guessing every man in here has a belt on. Of course, you reach a certain size, you really don't need a belt. But that belt is used for binding. It's used to hold things together. And these Orientals that would be in a hurry, they would have to tuck in, they would have to gird up, they would have to bind their loose flowing robes. Some of us this morning, we spend our time living our lives loosely. And I'm not necessarily talking about living in sin, but I'm talking about taking for granted that our minds are okay. Listen, our minds are not okay. Our hearts are okay if we're saved. But our minds are not. Our minds are subject for attack. And we can't take that for granted, church. Whenever you see somebody, you know, the eyes are the windows to the soul. And for most people, it's hard to hide how they feel. I know I can't hide how I feel. I mean, it's just, you can see right through me to my heart, you know when something's not right with me. And everybody has a bad day, by the way. But let me just say this. You can look into somebody's eyes and you know that they're under attack in their minds. You can look into somebody's eyes and you know that there has not been any girding up of the loins during the week for them. They've taken it for granted. They've battled battles on their own. They've tried to reason what's going on in their life. They've tried to figure it out. They've tried to explain it all away. But listen, sometimes what the Lord does, you can't explain it away. Sometimes what God has going on in our lives, it takes a spiritual mindset, not a natural mindset. So church, we have to be purposeful this morning to gird up the loins of our mind. Tuck in that tunic. Don't spend your days trying to live your life with a loose, girded mind. So we see that as believers, we must continually be in the binding business. The binding business. We bind up, we gird up the loins of our mind. We get ready to go to school, as I just said, or work, and the kids go to school. We gird up our minds, don't we? You wouldn't go into a meeting at work just sloppy and half-hearted, would you? No, you wouldn't. But you would prepare your mind. If you had to speak somewhere, if you had lunch with a friend, if a job interview, again, anything along those lines, you would gird up the loins of your mind. You would not go into it loosely. Let us, as believers, be on a path of victory, but it only will come through girding up the loins of our mind. Loins within itself can mean the fullest capacity of our minds, the fullest potential of our minds, the innermost part of our minds, the loins of our minds. We have to fully gird up to the fullest capacity, the loins of our minds. Then we'll be ready to discharge duty. Then we'll be on point with all of our responsibilities of life. Then we'll be ready to lead, ready to labor, ready to run, ready to rush, ready for conflict. Then and only then. This is something that soldiers do. Soldiers have to be prepared for battle. And if anything else this morning, it's just a reminder of the kind of battle we're in. Yeah, if you trusted Jesus as your Savior, you're going to heaven and your heart is saved, but not your mind. Your mind is not saved. And so he says in verse 13, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." But notice another word. He uses the word sober here. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Be sober. The word sober here means more than just inebriated of alcohol and drug use. Let me give it to you this way. The word sober here, it means to not be inebriated, not only with drugs or alcohol, but do not be inebriated. Do not be drunk, inebriated with the cares of this world. How many times do cares, I mean, Brother Allen and his testing he's had done, Miss Amanda just testified, I'm thankful going to Thanksgiving, not have to worry about this, because she cares about him. We all do. But it's just something about our cares and our struggles that have a way, if we let them, of inebriating us, controlling us. And then when you go to church, you look at your church family in the eyes and they know something's wrong with you. And especially if you're talking to somebody with the gift of discernment, you can just forget about it. They know something ain't right with you. Our cares and concerns, and listen, this world we're living in, it's a dog-eat-dog world. It has a way of totally inebriating us, distorting our minds this morning. Let us be sober-minded. Let us gird up the loins of our mind. Stress can cause distortion of the mind. Worry, doubts, and fears. Has anybody ever been there? Let me get a little more personal. Has anybody been there this past week when you were just so distorted mentally from the things of this world? And I'm not even talking about sin. Just cares. Things you need to figure out. Things that have to be done. There's so many loose ends in your life, yet you're caring, you're worrying. over each and every one because you want to be responsible. Now you are drunk with cares and concerns. You're so drunk with cares and concerns you can barely walk. You know how my sweat got in my eye, does it sometimes. Better not get too close to the stage. You know how people who you can see on TV, they drink and they got this stammering. You know, what's up? That don't even look right on me, does it? I'm so glad God changed me. Because I was a fool back in the day. People who drink, they walk different and they stumbling and falling all over the place, saying things they don't mean. So in like manner, someone who is totally concerned and wrapped up in care. And I'm talking about you're not letting the Lord deal with it. You're trying to deal with it. You're trying to figure it out. You're trying to wrap it up. You're trying to set it free. But it's not working. And you're so inebriated. You're so drunk with cares and concerns. You barely made it to church this morning. You walked in and you were tipsy off the torments of your life. You ever been there before? Oh, yeah. And listen, it doesn't just happen one time and you're done. It is a daily, continual, from earth to glory kind of Christian walk. Don't take it for granted. We must be at Jesus' feet. We must gird up the loins of our mind. We must be sober thinkers. We must ask God for power. Ask God for strength. Tuck in our tunic so we don't worry, that we may run and be responsible like we're supposed to. And so we see that there's these expectations. And listen, these aren't expectations where God is saying, do this, thou shalt not. Gird up your mind, you warrior. No, he's saying, gird up your mind, you warrior. These are things that benefit us in our lives. And how God has really drove these truths in my heart in recent days. How that we can just, if we're not careful, we can just go through our day without giving God any thought. We can just go through our day and we think that the prayers after breakfast, lunch, and dinner will suffice for spiritual power. Won't do it. Won't do it. Listen, we've got to connect. We've got to get desperate. We've got to have a vision of how we want our lives. We've got to have a vision of how we want our marriages and how we want to be parents. We've got to have a vision, and then we must go for it. It's not going to just happen. We have to be people on purpose this morning. Praise the Lord, Justin. That's good preaching. So we see that you got to be sober. We see that we have to gird up our minds because the enemy's not wasting any arrows. But notice this, and we'll wrap it up here shortly, not right now. Notice verse number 13 again. He says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end. I want to stop right there. I'm not kidding you. I was sitting at my long Last Supper table. That's the way it looks. In our dining room. And I was looking at that, and God spoke to my heart, I'm telling you, in a very profound way. Hope to the end. Has there anybody in here given up hope? I mean, you're saved. You know you're going to heaven when you die, but there's just some things in your life that you have not necessarily perfectly hoped for. There's some things that haven't been accomplished yet. I mean, you're hoping, but you're not perfectly hoping to the end. Now, he says, hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In that statement, that means we have a confident expectation of Christ's return with the joys that follow, or with the grace that follows. Hope to the end. But why does he say hope to the end? Why doesn't he just mention our sure and steadfast hope that we have? Why is it left undone? Why is there something on our part that's expected? I'll tell you why. It's because it all starts in the mind. And though we have a confident expectation of the Lord's return in heaven, we know that. If we're not careful, we can spend our days on a flat hope, if that makes sense. We know we're going to heaven when we die if we're saved. We know Jesus is coming. That is our confident expectation. But at the same time, we can spend our life with flat hope. And what I mean by that is you prayed for someone to get saved. You're still praying, but you don't have perfect hope as you're looking for the answer. There's things in your life where you need prayers answered. You're hopeful. You know God's in control, but you're not necessarily hoping to the end. Somewhere along the way of believing God for all things, you've got a flat tire in your hope. You see, I believe where he says, and hope to the end, that means there's a part that lies on our shoulders that we have to gird up the loins of our mind. Only allow goodness in God to come in. And when we do that, we are running on four tires of inflated hope. Sometimes when we drift and people get out of church because there's things in their life that have gone unanswered, they're operating on a flat hope. Does that make sense? A flat hope. So he says, hope to the end. Stay confident in this confident expectation you have. Strongly look forward to the Lord's return. Know that you know he's coming, but also perfectly hope for that. Don't just say it, but know that today could be the day. Perfectly hope that, and perfectly trust that God will see you through your storm. Perfectly hope and perfectly trust that God indeed is doing a work in your life. Just don't run off a flat hope. Run off a full hope. A full hope. Hope to the end. This is why we gird up the loins of our mind. Don't abandon the hopes the gospel offers. We have and the Bible says, a lively hope, back in verse number 3. We have this inheritance. We are kept by the power of God. And God is at work, verse 7, in our lives by trials of our faith. And then he says, wherefore? Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end. Stay full of hope today. If you're here and your hope has flattened out or leaked out, come and get your hope refilled. Come and get your hope refilled. Come and receive that which you need this morning from the Lord. As they come this morning with a song of invitation, we won't start any new verses, start any new points this morning. We're going to wait till tonight if the Lord continues us in this direction, because I don't want to rush through it. Sometimes you just got to cut it off. And so he says that we're to the expectation here is the mind of the believer. Let us this morning allow the Lord to gird up our minds. Away with all of the reasoning. Away with trying to figure it out. Sink or swim. God's got to intervene. Sink or swim. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you this morning for all things, God. We only felt like, given this dose this morning, I pray tonight that we would finish, Lord, the message. That's indeed what you have on our hearts. Because, God, it's a timely message, I believe. Lord, we are needy people. Lord, help us understand where to go from faith to faith. Strength to strength. We like to look and see how things are going to be down the road, but sometimes that discourages us. And we lose all energy to do anything today. It's strength to strength. Grace to grace. Day to day. Moment by moment. And Father, we trust that whatever dreams, whatever, Lord, visions we may have of our life in the future, that we will end up there as we take it day by day, if that's what you want for us. But if not, Lord, and you directing us in other ways, we're leaving that up to you. We're just focused on today. We're focused on tucking in our tunics so we can run. Help us, Lord, always, always, always do good diligence of keeping a good thought life, because thoughts create actions, actions create behaviors. And Lord, we only want behaviors that please you. We love you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet.